Well, grace and peace to each of you as we gather today in this place. For the beginning of the Augsburger Lecture Series, the Augsburger Lectureship provides resources to annually bring to campus a noted lecturer to address pertinent topics in the area of Christian evangelism and mission for the stimulation and development of a vision for evangelism and mission for students, faculty, and staff of EMU. And for that, we are grateful to Myron Augsburger and his wife Esther for setting this up. Thank you very much. Today, we will have with us Dr. Melinda Elizabeth Perry, assistant professor of theology and ethics at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, and Michael King, the dean, will introduce her momentarily. But I just want to affirm, or at least get out there, that her overall theme is Mennonite higher education as mission, and today's mission topic is visions and voices from the margins.
Thank you, Kevin. I'll echo your appreciation to Myron, who is here, and I'm reminded, Myron, that you were my president when I was a student at Eastern Mennonite. And it's good to experience your legacy carried forth in this way here this morning. Having just returned from an event at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary at which Melinda provided some of the leadership, I am particularly pleased to be able to introduce to us here Dr. Melinda Elizabeth Berry, who, as Kevin noted, is assistant professor at AMBS in Elkhart. She also previously taught at Bethany Theological Seminary and Goshen College. She has published on a range of topics in multiple venues and was co-editor with Keith Graber Miller of Wrestling with the Text, Young Adult Perspectives on Scripture, which I had the privilege of working with as publisher along with her and her co-editor. Melinda and her family are part of the Fellowship of Hope Mennonite Church. In addition to thinking big and sometimes offbeat thoughts about Christianity and the mission of the church, Melinda, actually I now find myself by my syntax taken into an area. Melinda said there's no need to include that, so I'll let you ask her about her additional interests and perspectives, but she has lots of great ones, and again, as one who experienced her leadership in the last weekend, I am greatly looking forward to what you have to share with us here this morning, Melinda. Blessings to you.
Opening words, I invite the women to begin. It was a dance of creation, of joy, of freedom, of wholeness, of power. And God, knowing that all things is good, is shared.
Held the earth tenderly and yearned for relationship.
And humanity was born in the yearning of God. We were born to share the earth. Let us sing together.
Thank you. Join me in the prayer of confession on the second page. Great God, El Roy, the one who sees, before you we confess our sin and pray that your holy gaze will heal our hardened hearts, renew our faltering spirits, and save us. We confess the terrible physical and sexual and domestic violence that have crippled the souls and spirits of so many women, girls, men, and boys across the globe. We confess how, even into our own time, Scripture has been used to justify violence against women and our inclusion from the full role in societies, including our own. We confess a violent culture which turns women's bodies into sexualized commodities and sees women as part of the spoils of war and commerce. We confess the structural violence of the church, which too often excludes women from decision-making, power, or authority, and turned its backs on the victims of personal violence. Hear these words of assurance. Behold, says God, I am making all things new. I will wipe away every tear from every eye. Let these words liberate us as we, ourselves and our societies, seek transformation so that we may be healed, rise up, and walk humbly with God.
Sirach 2, 1-6. Daughters and sons, if you hope to follow our God, prepare yourself to be tested. Be clear-minded about your goals and persevere, and be brave when faced with challenges. If you want a long and successful life, put yourself in the presence of God and stay there. Endure every adversity in patient humility, for even gold must be tested by fire. And so are the chosen, in fires that dethrone the ego. Trust in God, and God will help you. Keep to the narrow path of goodness, and have hope.
Good morning. I am glad to be here, and I bring you greetings both from the Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary Learning Community and from Fellowship of Hope Mennonite Church, where my family and I worship. I have to say that I continue to marvel at your boldness in inviting me and my boldness in accepting this invitation to be here as this year's Augsburger lecturer. And I'll say more about that as I continue, but here we go. Even with all the good vibes and feelings I have about being here and the good memories I have of other times when I've been in this seminary chapel, I fear that I do not have much good news to share. You see, what I have to say is that in response to the reality of what we call domestic violence, the voices on the margins of the church are calling for justice. These voices are on the margins not because what they're saying is marginal to the church's mission. In fact, I would argue the opposite. Their message is quite central to God's mission, or what we call the Missio Dei. The bad news is that marginal voices have been made marginal by you, by me, our hymnody, our theology, our biblical hermeneutics, our collective amnesia, and our sheer thoughtlessness. Like I said, it's not a good news kind of day. Daughters and sons, if you hope to follow our God, prepare yourself to be tested. Be clear-minded about your goals and persevere, and be brave when faced with challenges. If you want a long and successful life, put yourself in the presence of God and stay there. Endure every adversity in patient humility, for even gold must be tested by fire. And so are the chosen in fires that dethrone the ego. Trust in God, and God will help you. Keep to the narrow path of goodness and have hope. There's an energetic difference in the way I read that passage and in the way Maria did. Remember that. This passage from Sirach was my scriptural touchstone when I was working on my doctorate. I found the process of becoming a professional academic theologian rather intense, difficult, and challenging. My ego was definitely dethroned as I tried to follow the pathway that led to my career and vocational goals. Fine. But Melinda, what does that have to do with missiology and domestic violence? Well, I'll tell you, or at least I'll try. I'm from Goshen. That means I was born into and formed in the Christian formation sense of the word, an intensely pro-Mennonite environment, where that means standing in an intellectual and spiritual tradition of believing that being faithful means keeping to a narrow path of goodness, that this is what it means to be salt and light and yeast and lamp on a lampstand. Ethics over evangelism, social justice over saving souls, model Mennonites over missions, both foreign and domestic. And here I am in Harrisonburg, home of Myron Augsburger, August Mennonite evangelist. We all know the stereotypes, and we know the insistence of our mission agencies that mission evangelism and peace are intricately woven together. But if that's so, why do we have to keep reminding ourselves that it's so? I would like to suggest, no, in fact, I'm telling you, it's because we have an ego problem. Or to be more precise, we have a superego problem. In the past, the Mennonite system of education was a way of ensuring that young people would have an appropriate educational environment in which to receive spiritual instruction as well as expand their academic horizons. Over time, in this same system, education as indoctrination, and I mean that in both the positive and negative sense of that word, gave way to education as transformation. In this paradigm shift, I think, we Mennonites became conflicted about our place in the world. As we built an intellectual tradition for ourselves, trying to hold together many strands of keeping to the narrow path of goodness, we didn't well notice that we were paying a fairly high price. We didn't notice that a spirit of evangelism within our congregations, communities, and campuses, that is, among ourselves, had died. Some call this the spiritual poverty of the Anabaptist vision. Consistent discipleship is not easy to pull off. In all of our striving, we've tried to be perfect. In all of our narrowness, we've thought we are unique. Those are loaded statements, and I'm not going to unpack them in this moment. Instead, I will simply repeat them and ask you to notice your reaction to my statement. And I'll even leave a little space of silence so that if a spirit of boldness finds you, you can speak something of where and how my statements meet you and your own experience. Consistent discipleship is not easy to pull off. In all of our striving, we've tried to be perfect. In all of our narrowness, we've thought we are unique. One of the places where the truth of these statements met me was in my work with Mennonite peace theology. In the early 1990s, the Institute of Mennonite Studies at AMBS held a conference on the topic of peace theology and violence against women. See, in addition to being from Goshen, I'm also a Black feminist peace theologian, so I care a lot about the integrity of our witness for Christian nonviolence. A lot. In the collection of presentations published from that conference, over and over and over again, there is a call to all who will listen to understand that the church's mission is to bear witness to God's justice for the victims of such intimate yet public violence. When we begin to listen to the heart-rending stories of intimate interpersonal violence that have happened in Mennonite communities, we are confronted with the reality that violence is at home, in our homes, and on our campuses. In our shame, we hide it, and we hide from it. In our disbelief, we turn away the downtrodden. Our coldness turns bread to stone. Now I realize I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. This isn't new. It isn't news, even if it's bad. What in this mix has become news to me, though, and so I share it with you, is how crushing it is to have to face the reality that growing up in a normal home or a healthy community doesn't exempt me from the truth of what has happened to others. While I can place my faith in the mission statements and intentions of denominational organizations, others cannot, and that matters. See, if I make my experience normative for others or expect them to affirm it as evidence that God is present in my life and then passively suggest that God is absent from theirs, how is that good news? God's mission brings marginal voices to the center of the euangelion to remind us that true evangelical faith, I'm talking about gospel-centered faith, brings together what Reinhold Niebuhr described as a rational ethic concerned with justice and a religious ethic oriented toward love. As religious people, Niebuhr continues and points out, our relationship with justice is a complicated one because love has both a mystical dimension and a prophetic dimension. Fleshing out Niebuhr's analysis, Roger Haight, who was one of my teachers, explains that love's mystical pull tends to make an individual or group withdraw from the world, devalue history, claim that one's true home is not here but in heaven, and seek communion with God without attending to one's neighbor. It's kind of like turning your back on the downtrodden and your coldness turning bread to stone. Both Niebuhr and Haight advocate for giving attention to the prophetic dimension of love because it prompts the believer to get involved in society for the sake of the neighbor. So these three ingredients, justice, mystical love, and prophetic love, when they mingle in the fires that dethrone the superegos of denominational organizations, educational institutions, and ordinary folks like me, create dancing flames. Flames that reveal how the virtues of grace, compassion, and truth-telling can't be cultivated in communities that strive for perfectionism and uniqueness, or make idols, however subtly, of normality and set-apartness. This same spiritual furnace also reveals that truth-telling that's hell-bent on dethroning the superegos of leaders or pointing out the glaring inconsistencies of church institutions is not the appropriate corrective either. See, I believe it is the holy fire of the Holy Spirit, not a man or woman made fire, that tests us, prepares us not just for our particular career paths and vocational goals, but to be saved. In this way, I am here talking about mission and evangelism within Christ's body. As an Anabaptist Mennonite, I urge us to consider how our discipleship is most authentic when we manifest a spirituality of evangelism or prophetic love. This spirituality of evangelism is a synthesis of holiness spirituality and social justice spirituality. In his book, Streams of Living Water, Celebrating the Great Traditions of Christian Faith, Richard Foster gives us some helpful clues for understanding this call that I'm issuing. He explains that the holiness stream of Christian life and faith focuses upon the inward reformation or reformation of the heart and the development of holy habits. He says we can rely upon these deeply ingrained habits of virtue to make our lives function appropriately and to bring forth substantial character formation. This process, these virtues, address the erosion of moral fiber in contemporary society that I think we can all agree is manifest in some places. But there are distortions in this stream of spirituality. These distortions can include legalism, works righteousness, and the P word again, perfectionism. To avoid these potential perils, let our affirmation of holiness spirituality name these strengths. Purity and sanctity call us to revere our bodies as channels of God's Spirit, so that when those bodies are violated, it matters. Holiness spirituality also reminds us that the virtuous life is about effort, not works and perfectionism. Effort goes hand in hand with grace. Foster goes on to explain that the social justice stream of Christian life and faith focuses upon justice and shalom in all human relationships and social structures. There are three arenas that social justice spirituality remind us are deeply connected to the living out of Christian faith: our personal lives, our social interactions, and our relationships to and with institutional structures, like colleges and universities and seminaries. Like the holiness stream of spirituality, social justice spirituality's vision for compassion can become clouded by rigidity and judgmentalism. Can I get an amen? To avoid these potential perils, let our affirmation of social justice spirituality celebrate love as a spiritual force that breaks down dividing walls and builds bridges. For when we drink from this stream, when we stand by this fire, we keep prophetic imagination alive. When it comes to the evangelical stream of Christian spirituality, Foster tells us that the evangelical tradition of Christian life and faith focuses upon the proclamation of the evangel, the good news of the gospel. This good news is founded on three great themes: faithful proclamation, the centrality of Scripture, and the confessional witness of the early Christian community. He adds, "We are enabled by the power of God to take the word of the gospel into our hearts in such a transforming way that others, seeing this, want it for themselves." Evangelical spirituality addresses the crying need for people to see the good news lived and hear the good news proclaimed. Now, we know that distortions of this stream include fixating on non-essential matters, worshiping the Bible instead of God, and excessive individualism in our view of salvation. Today, let us remember that authentic evangelical spirituality both keeps the church's heritage of reaching out to the marginalized and making their lives and testimony central to communal discernment. And discerning communities are essential for faithful proclamation and sound teaching. In short, they are essential to the mission of God in the world. So here I am, a Black Mennonite feminist from Goshen, preaching a sermon in Harrisonburg, hoping that the bad news that the movement to promote domestic violence awareness seems relegated to the margins of what we consider the church's mission in God's world to be. May it not be so. Will you pray with me? Great God, we give you thanks that you call us out of silence to name hidden and domestic violence in public places. Today we pray for all those women who, despite suffering from violence, continue to care for family and children, to grow and prepare food, carry water, earn a living, and offer support to others. We pray for women and men who are trafficked as domestic or sex workers, for women and men who are raped and do not know how to find words to name their pain or a way into the future. We pray for transformation of our societies, which often find it easier to judge the victims of violence than to solve the problems of injustice. We pray that women's voices and experiences may be heard and taken into account in all peace and reconciliation work. We pray for a transformation in the violent way many men act toward and think about women and men who refuse to degrade women. We pray for right and just relations between women and men, that together we may transform and overcome violence in all its forms and learn to celebrate our diversity and our interdependence. We look forward to the age of justice, love, and peace when violence is banished, when both women and men are able to love and be loved, and the work and the wealth of our world is justly shared. We look forward to participating in your mission. We look forward to sharing the good news of your love in our lives. Amen. Remain standing to receive these words of blessing. May the God of Eve teach you to dance. May the God of Hagar bring you comfort in the desert. May the God of Miriam bring companions to you when you struggle. May the God of Deborah teach you courage for your battles. May the Christ who knew Mary and Martha show you the way of balance. May the Christ who healed the bent over woman heal your pain. May the Christ of Mary Magdala send you out to proclaim your story. In the name of Christ, who is the memory, hope, and peace of this time and all time, I say amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.